Hello, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of Grits in the Gospel. My name is Reverend Katie Griffiths, and I'm so excited to be here with y'all today. It is Palm Sunday. We have made it to the end of Lent. We are coming up on Holy Week, and we are then moving to that beautiful, glorious day of Easter. And I'm so thankful that we have been on this journey together and that we get to worship in this way together today. I hope that in your own life at home, in your real life, not in your technology online life, that you are going to a service and waving a palm somewhere. And it is my sincere hope that you have that church family. And if you don't, I hope that you find one, because there's nothing like sitting in the pews with someone and being filled with the Spirit together. You may hear a little sneezy sneeze. Honey is still not loving the pollen, and so you may hear her in the background. She is sending her love as well today. Let us come together now in a time of worship. The Lord be with you and also with you. Today's psalm is from the 118th psalm. We're going to start with the first two verses and then move to verses 19 through 29. These verses are called, or this psalm is called the Passover Praise Psalm, and it is very meaningful to the story that we are telling right now of Jesus and his trip to the cross. And it starts with the waving of the palms, but there are several other things in these verses that are reminiscent of this liturgical time of the year, and I hope that you will hear them and be inspired by them. Hear now the word of the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say his steadfast love endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you. O Lord, we beseech you. Give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. The word of God for us, the Lenten people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us come together now and say those tenets of our faith that we believe in. Friends, what do we believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come to you today, waving our palms and laying our cloaks before you. We are so blessed, so humbled, so inspired by your journey to the cross that started with a parade, a beautiful processional of people and palms and love in Jerusalem. Hear us now as we pray those words that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Today's gospel lesson comes from the gospel according to Luke. This version is one that is not quite as familiar. Listen to maybe why it's not. Before we do that, I would like to say a theme in my own spiritual life and growth through my time in school and as I study scripture to preach the gospel has been to start to see these familiar stories and texts with fresh eyes. I do that through study. I do that through prayer. I do that through writing. And I do that through the words of people that I respect. Before we read today's scripture, I thought I would read a poem by one of my favorites, Mary Oliver, titled, "The Poet Thinks About the Donkey." On the outskirts of Jerusalem, the donkey waited, not especially brave or filled with understanding. He stood and waited. How horses turned out into the meadow leap with delight. How doves, released from their cages, clatter away, splashed with sunlight. But the donkey, tied to a tree as usual, waited. Then he let himself be led away. Then he let the stranger mount. Never had seen such crowds, and I wonder if he at all imagined what was to happen. Still, he was what he had always been, small, dark, obedient. I hope finally he felt brave. I hope finally he loved the man who rode so lightly upon him as he lifted one dusty hoof and stepped, as he had to, forward. Today's scripture text is from Luke, the 19th chapter, verses 28 through 40. Hear now the word of the Lord. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethpage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you. As you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. Now, as he was approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and joy in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, as we come to hear these words on Palm Sunday, let us be inspired. Let us be changed. Let us be moved by the story of your journey to the cross. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. I took my own advice this week. In preparing for this week's message, I went back and looked at the weeks leading up to Palm Sunday. I'm not big on sermon series. For me, in the way I write, it takes the timeliness from the messages I am given. It's not that I'm opposed to them. As a matter of fact, I have one planned for this summer, something to try out new. But on a normal basis, I don't love them. It's just not how my brain and my communication with God work best. For me, I find just as much inspiration as looking back and seeing the things and themes as they were woven, without me really knowing it, by the Spirit. It keeps the inspiration I am giving a place to live in the majesty and the mystery of God. Sometimes as theologians, we study the mystery of God right out of faith. But this way that I am inspired helps keep that aspect of faith at the forefront. Last week, we talked about foreshadowing, how Jesus, by telling people to back off of Mary's use of his burial perfume, was showing them that he would not need it, that the tomb would be empty, that he would rise from the dead and become our Savior, something that he had been hinting at for a long time. The sacrifice that Mary made was one that was made more meaningful when the disciples looked back and found the Easter egg that Jesus had given them. We also talked about the sacrifice of the father and the story of the prodigal son, how he sacrificed his dignity and raised his robes to run to the son that was returning. There's a lot of sacrifice in that parable. The father sacrifices his fatted calf as well, and he sacrifices his wealth to his son by giving him his inheritance before he dies. When we started this Lenten journey, we talked about what it really means to sacrifice something in our lives for Lent, as Jesus did in the wilderness. Is giving up sweet tea or bread for 40 days really that much of a sacrifice? We talked about what it would look like if we found something in our lives that really needed to go and to be sacrificed. So I guess if there was a name for the sermon series as I look back on it, it would be the meaning of sacrifice. None of it was planned. All of it was inspired. Today's scripture is no different. We see the crowd's sacrifice for Jesus, the man and the deity that was coming to Jerusalem as their king, who came in the name of the Lord, their teacher, their rabbi, their friend, who is going to be sacrificed and make the ultimate sacrifice in just a few short days. Did you see what was missing from the Gospel of Luke's account of the first Palm Sunday? There wasn't a donkey in this account, only a colt. There are all kinds of combinations of donkeys and colts in the Gospels. My favorite is Matthew, who has both. I'm not an expert, but I am not sure how Jesus straddled a donkey and a colt. But what do I know? It paints an interesting picture. Also, and this is one of my favorites, there's not a palm in sight. Other gospels include the palms, because they're easily available on the streets that lined, on the trees that lined the streets. But here in Luke, we see nothing waved. We see no trees damaged. The people were not committing misdemeanors and vandalizing the trees of Jerusalem. We see no palm lifted or laid on the road before the king. In Luke, we only see cloaks used. We see the two disciples that found the colt use their cloaks to cover his back for a place for Jesus to sit. And then the people along the route decided not to destroy the neighborhood trees, but instead they used their cloaks to lay before Jesus. This is another sacrifice that we see better through a historical lens, much like the robes of the prodigal father. I have admitted before that I love the royals. I'm a princess. So I like studying other princesses, especially their jewels and their wardrobes. And man, do I love a good cloak or a cape. I love a good cloak flourish. I love it when the matadors use them to distract the bulls in Spain. I love it when Jonathan Groff, who plays King George III in the musical Hamilton, uses his robes to subtly make his character come to life. I love it when I learn about the stitching on the coronation robes used across Europe and even in the Mardi Gras parades here in this country. But the history of the cloak is very different than just something to flourish. Cloaks were often the blankets that people carried as they traveled. The people that had been following Jesus took the one thing that they had to protect them as they slept off their backs and laid them on the ground before him as he rode by on that colt. They were sacrificing a piece of their belongings that protected them. Time after time this Lent, we have seen what others would sacrifice for those they love. We are about to see this week exactly what Jesus would do for all of humanity because of the love he has for us. We will see him put on trial. We will see him march through the streets, not as a hero, but carrying the cross that he will be hung upon. We see him beaten and stripped and pierced. We will see him crucified. We will see him sacrifice his earthly body and become the Lamb of God. The blood that we will see him shed is because he loves us. But before he sacrifices all of that for us and for those gathered along the road that day, they would take off their cloaks and shout, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." What do you have to lay at the feet of Jesus? What can we sacrifice to the hooves of the colt carrying the Savior? I love that last stanza of the Oliver poem about the donkey. I hope finally he felt brave. I hope finally he loved the man who rode so lightly upon him as he lifted one dusty hoof and stepped, as he had to, forward. Before we leave today, it is time for us to start moving forward. It is time for us to be brave. It is time for us to take off our cloaks and bring our palms and lay them at the altar for the King who traveled the two roads to the cross, the road of hosannas and the road of sacrifice. It's time for me to take off my black robe, to take off the thing that symbolizes my calling and a visual representation of the blank slate I become when I preach. It is time for me to prepare myself for Easter and the white robe I will wear by being vulnerable and exposed to the hurt and death of Holy Week. It is time for me to lay my cloak at the altar. My congregation will be given a chance to bring their palms at the end of the service. But there is another important reminder of that day that will happen on Sunday as well. The light that is on the altar each week that represents the light of Christ will be taken out of this place only to return on Easter morning. After we sing our closing hymn on Sunday, we will remove the light. And then as people exit in silence, they will be asked to bring their palms to the altar. They'll be given the chance to either put them behind the rail and take time to kneel in prayer if they wish, or they can simply hand it to me and I will lay it on the altar with my robe. These palms will then become the base of our ashes for next year's Ash Wednesday service, when once again we come together in a time of sacrifice. I hope this week that you take a moment to sit in silence, to really feel the weight and the death and the destruction and the hurt and the pain of Holy Week, of Good Friday. Because I promise if you do, when you walk back in the doors of your church on Easter morning, it will be glorious. Because in life and in death and in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.